Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third podcast with your host, Zach Polk.
I like that too, but I do like, you know, animation titties. Oh, that everyone has someone in their life that deals with the shit that I deal with.
And featuring Tyler Southern.
You want me to rub your feet? You want me to get the bath running? Something? Can I help you relax?
Now turn that shit up.
Just a reminder, we are not medical professionals. We're just a couple of dudes here to hopefully entertain you, maybe talk about some difficult shit, make it funny, or whatever, man. We kind of just let this go off the rails most of the time, eh?
Yeah. Hey, you're watching hockey and you're just Canadian. You just can't, you said A twice now.
Turning Canadian, bud.
What are you talking about?
So funny, dude. I bet it's like, so I play a lot of NHL competitively with some buddies of mine, this family called the Dorfels, and we always end up playing with a Canadian, and I generally think Canadians are good people. They're pretty nice, like, you know, average probably nicer than most Americans, to be honest.
I was gonna say the stereotype is in my experience been pretty legit,
yeah,
of the whole just overly polite and don't want to offend anybody.
Dude, that's somebody we could get on here. I've thought about it in the past and I just forgot for a long time, but Dallas Alexander.
Oh, dude, he'd be a wonderful guest.
Yeah, he'd be an interesting guy. I've been having a little bit of a hard time getting, it's not that I don't have possible people. I want to get some compelling guests on. I put in I reached out to a couple of bigger name people this week.
You'd mention that.
Yeah, in hopes that they would reply, but you know how that goes. Like, you throw some bait in the water, you know he's going to catch some shit.
Yeah, but I mean, worst they can do is ignore it or say no. I mean,
I also met this dude at the bar that I do trivia and all that at. His name's Calvin. Hoping he comes on. Really good guy. Definitely an interesting dude. Hardworking guy. But had some shit in his past that sounded like it would be interesting to talk to him about. He was slated to come on, and then he couldn't because he had some. He works like two jobs, and he's just a busy dude. So, hoping to get him on as well. One of the people I reached out to, have you happened to see a show on Netflix called The Program?
I think I saw saw the title when I was scrolling for other things.
Yeah, I reached out to the director of that. She's it's basically a. I was like, man, I should download the trailer and just play it. But basically there's these schools for wayward teens.
Okay.
And they go back obviously till the 90s and shit. Most of this takes place in the early 2000s. But you know, these kids who are, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old getting in trouble, or at least even the perception by their parents that they're getting in trouble. They send them away to these schools, and the way these schools work, they work under this one dude who gives them this game plan for how to run these schools, basically. And they start by actually the parents know about this, so it's not actually kidnapping, but it's kidnapping. They show up with like and take the kid. And they take them to this place and keep them for months and months. And dude, when they get there, they're not allowed to talk to the outside world. They're not allowed to talk to each other. They're not allowed to fart without asking for permission. They're not allowed to look at the opposite sex. I mean, the insane trauma that these kids got from going through this program, all in the name of, you know, helping them become better people.
It's a documentary.
Yes.
Where it, negative light.
Okay. Yeah.
It's man, when I tell you, I thought you were loading up some sort of like, it's awesome. It's like Scared Straight. Da, da, da. Like we follow these horrible, terrible kids and we find out they're awesome. And I'm like, fuck everything you just said. Okay, cool.
No, just
right, sorry. I was getting, I would say my dad juices were flowing and I was fucking.
as a father, I feel like you would. Be quite pissed when you
watch. Oh,
like,
yeah.
You get real angry by the end of it because these parents, at first, you're
kind of
like,
shit.
you're like, fuck the parents, dude.
Yeah. But
then you realize that the school, like, honey dicked them, dude. Like, they convinced the parent that things aren't what they actually are like.
Yeah, and like in some sort of damn crime show where a little culty, where they were all just, you know, oh, no, it's 100%. All these wonderful therapies and all these activities that nurture the not be a shithead in them. And it ends up being freaking conversion therapy and electroshock therapy and
torture, pretty much.
Fuck.
Making them sleep.
I hate that is a real thing that has ever happened before, let alone to kids.
Well, here's what's nuts, dude, is that they tried to break out of this one school and expose it, and they kind of did. But what's been happening is this family who's been running these schools just keep opening shit up under a different name, and they still exist. They still exist. There's no legislation or laws to control what they're doing. You know, they said that basically the government had a hearing. They had one, one political person who was fighting for them. And they basically had a hearing and they were like, oh yeah, that's terrible. We should do something about that. And then they just never did shit. So they just keep, every time they shut one down, they just go open it under a different name and use the same policies. It's crazy.
Man, you're saying a lot of words in a row that aren't putting me in a happy place.
Yeah, it's worth watching.
While I agree that it needed to be exposed and destroyed and dismantled and everyone involved should have been absolutely arrested and hopefully doing some sort of time, I can't move. Some of that's when it has to do with kids these days.
Yeah,
I can't. My heart can't take it. I used to be able to watch anything and separate it from reality versus whatever.
Yeah.
But nah, man, I would say I got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old now.
And all the people telling
one and a half year old nephew.
Right.
And just fuck. If I ever caught someone trying to convince my kid of something that I didn't want them to be convinced of, just in passing, like if I caught someone trying to talk to my kid in a manner that I thought was unacceptable, I'd go to jail. Like,
I'm not giving up on getting somebody, because I reached out to the director and she had, I was going to do it anyway because, you know, it just pops up on Netflix and the first day or two it was on, I watched it. So I immediately sent her a message. And when I sent her a message, she only had like 2,000 something followers on Instagram. And I'm like, well, that's not going to be like that for long. So let me try to hit it early. And I said to her, I said, look, if it's not you, anybody that you had work on that program with you, who went through that with you would be someone interesting to me. I just want to really kind of go deeper into the psychology of it. Like, cause all of these people are fucked up adults now who,
how they wouldn't have a fucking chance to turn out right.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Just stuck with all kinds of issues and trauma. And I'm just like, what kind of, even the principal or the people in charge of the school, there was no criteria for them hiring them. And the education they got, the diploma they got, they basically told them after it was over, it means nothing. Like, your diploma is useless. So you went to school but didn't actually learn anything or graduate. You basically just got waterboarded for however many, you know, months or years you were here and stuck with a bunch of trauma. It's there's some good sides to the documentary too, where you see like them kind of persevering and coming through, and even the documentary itself, like fighting to get this thing to happen. And it's interesting.
I don't know what it was called now. Shit. It's a Clint Eastwood movie, I think. He's not in it, but I'm pretty sure he directed it, but, it's about Native Americans and hockey. And this specific dude who was just an absolute stellar hockey player when he was younger. And like the school he went to, because I forgot the re-education schools that they sent Native Americans to. This was Native Canadians. But the whole send you to all these schools and make you Christian and call you John, like that's a very real thing that happened. And that's one of the things that I'm like, yeah, just like you talk about all those kids could not grow up straight. Like they, screws were loose, things were bent because someone bent them. This movie, man, I was charged up. I don't know what I was thinking, because again, I think Clint Eastwood directed it, and he don't end stuff on the happiest of notes, kind of ever. Like that's his Tarantino moment where you play it from the end, and then like, you know, that's his trademark, is that you're gonna leave with a fucking shattered psyche. But I was poised and ready for it to end hopeful, for him to beat all the circumstances and go be a boss in hockey, because he was a real dude and he was really a thing in hockey. So I was thinking that was after he overcame everything.
Yeah.
And no, right when you thought it was about to go up, or when I thought it was about to go uplifting. Go.
You don't know the name of it?
I'm gonna find it now. But
I gotta watch this movie,
dude. Well, then I don't want to tell you. Then if I don't want to spoil the everything, but I'll tell you right now, it don't get happy. Like I needed, like there was actually the two or three bright spots get very much tarnished.
Wow!
By the end of it, and that was the thing, was out of nowhere, this one thing that you thought was one thing is not the one thing, and I yelled at the TV. I rolled out of the house. I've never been so dramatic and animated, but I was so fucking mad.
When was this set in? Like what?
Time? The 2030 something, when they were doing that in Canada and America. They were just rounding up natives.
Wow.
And taking them to these schools because, you know, Jesus is the only right and true God, and we can't call you Runs with Wolves. Your name is John. Like, they gave him Christian names and fucking, like, you know, beat him if they were talking in their own language, and all kinds of really terrible, like, make them white folks. And
is there anything more gross than a human being who thinks they know the right way for another human being to act, as far as that goes? Like as far as like both of these things are
super
kind of
gross.
Yeah, it's like, how the fuck do you think you have it figured out? And it's never people trying to tell you how to live that you look up to and want to learn how to live from. It's other people with fucked up lives trying to tell other people how to live their life. It's so bananas, dude.
I'll never understand that shit. I'll never get to a point where, like, for example, I just found out that someone, we're related, but just absolutely contacted two different people now that found out about another one today. But just to tell them that if they don't find God and, you know, accept Jesus, then they're definitely burning in hell.
That's so crazy.
One of whom specifically because she's homosexual. And I was just like, I'm gonna hit him up, just be like, hey, deeply inappropriate, never again. Like, the fuck? I don't know why would, if someone asks you, answer their questions. Yay, I get that. But like, why would you go up to somebody?
Yeah.
A stranger, whoever, and just be like, because you're wearing that, doing that, have that, did that. If you don't say that this particular dude is your boss.
Yeah.
And ask for his forgiveness. I know you just met, but you gotta get on your knees and beg for his forgiveness. And if he agrees that you're legit, then you're in. Like, like what on earth would possess somebody to do that? I get explaining who you are and what you believe in and being passionate about the things that make you you. Yeah. Absolutely. But like when you use those things, whatever they are, to try to mold and bend and change other people to fit your little thing, be gone. I don't understand.
Usually it's some kind of projection of you knowing that you're not as good at being the thing you're trying to be. It's really funny because in my experience as a person who grew up a believer and then at one point discovered that I wasn't a believer. Indian horse.
Indian horse.
I got to watch that. I'm going to look that up, see if I can find it.
Yeah, for the listeners. And again, oh my God, dude, don't say Tyler told me to watch this and I'm in a bad mood now. I warned you. I literally had to watch Mystery Alaska after to like get my head right. Like I needed a feel good hockey movie. Like, yeah. I needed a cloud. Wow. Cloudlet Plains.
So anyway, what I was saying, if did you say a cloudlet plains?
I fucked it up pretty good.
That's nice.
Cloudlet cleanse.
You know, I in my experience since finding my disbelief, I find that most people who believe in that shit really don't actually know the book very well that they base their belief on. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes as they're judging someone else and saying, you're going to go to hell for X reason, they don't realize how many ways in that book that they're going to hell.
And so,
you know,
in defense of the person in question.
Yeah.
Knows that shit backwards and forwards. And like, and
so I guess they don't eat shellfish or wear mixed fabrics or have tattoos so or
fully admits and understands we're all born in sin and we're gonna sin. But the whole he's your boss and you gotta repent thing is the part that equals the hall pass up the stairway.
Right.
And I'm just like
we're super intelligent, kind and good acting people who just haven't seen reason to believe are going to burn in hell for eternity, but priests who touch little boys' dicks are still going to go to heaven because they repented for their sins or whatever.
I mean, that's historically mostly Catholic, and I'm talking Christian, but yes, that's true. Like there's a whole rigmarole of everything that was meant to be 100% good and awesome and came from a good place has all those holes of this motherfucker fucked up, this motherfucker. I try not to judge the John Q public of all of those religions based on what the Vatican let slide or what the deacons or whatever covered up. Right. I hope people don't look at our president and think I'm an idiot too. Like I hope that can separate me as an American from who my boss is.
Right. Like,
So that same thing, like I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, believe what you want to believe all day. That's my shit.
Yeah. I'd stand with somebody in the street and fight for their right to believe whatever the fuck they want. I believe you fought for my right to tell people that it's fucking dumb.
Yeah. That's the first one. So yeah, it's all in the First Amendment, man.
Yeah.
I was going to say your belief to not believe or their belief to believe and your ability to tell them how you feel about it and their ability to tell you how they feel about what you like. That's all. Yes.
The whole thing. I would argue that is the single most important right that we have. It's the freedom.
The first one.
Yep.
The amendment.
It's absolutely the most important thing. Living through the last several years where we've lived with this cancel culture shit where you can't say certain shit or you can't, you know, they want to wield this axe of like cancel and you can't, you know, just control what you say.
Righteousness, where I'm just like, one, who put you in charge of what can be said?
Right. And even like,
did I ask if you were cool with X, Y, and Z? Like,
right.
Stay out of my life. I'll stay out of your life.
Even if today the person that's in office, whoever it is the person that is going to support what you want people to say, the narrative you want to control. If you give someone that power to control anything that's said, then that will eventually be used against you. Eventually 100%. You'll be on the other side of it and they'll be stifling your speech and you won't be allowed to say what you're saying. So you just have to across the board accept that free speech means free speech, and that means shit you don't like. That means hate speech. That means dumb speech. And the only way to defeat that shit is with better speech.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, if you getting mad and punching a racist in the face, it'll make him think twice about saying whatever. But like, you'd probably change his mind better if you either hit him with some facts or compassion, which sucks because who wants to get slapped in the face verbally and then be like, you know what, sir?
Yeah.
I forgive you for being an asshat. The whole turning the other cheek thing, going right back to religion. But like, I just, that ends up being the best case scenario. If yeah. that motherfucker can open his eyes for a second and you can basically, you can either confirm or deny what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you haul off and beat the brakes off him and your friends come help, you're confirming to him the things that he hates about you.
Yeah.
And you, I just, fuck. Like, you can, I hate you can that.
You can go a step further with that too and talk about like the way that people are so divided on so many issues. And let's just say politically, from to make it simple, where instead of having an adult conversation and like hitting each other with facts, it's like, let me call you as many names and act like you're dumb as fuck for believing what you believe while I believe this. And half the time they're all spewing shit that's not even, you know, true. And it's like, what are we even doing?
Two notes on that. So I learned early in my marriage, actually, that if we're yelling, we are no longer communicating.
It's a fact.
Like if it has gone to both our voices are raised and we're both screaming at each other, there's no more communication going. We're literally yelling at walls.
And isn't that kind of exactly what's going on? Is everyone just yelling from the beginning? There's no conversation at all.
Everyone needs to win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't hit you with, I feel this way about it, so it has to be right. Or look how many people believe this is right. Who cares if it's right? If this many people believe it's right, like, then like don't no one wants to hit with facts like and no one and no. Set the separate note that actually dovetails in right here is that 90% of people these days are, you know, obviously not a real number, but up there, are listening to respond,
yeah,
and are not listening to understand. Because a lot of the stuff people want to fight you over, I don't know enough about it to voice an opinion confidently. Like, yeah. Like, I'll tell you how I feel about certain things for sure, but like, literally died for your right to believe what you believe. So yeah. Go believe what you believe. If yeah, you're asking me my opinion, we'll talk about it, but like, don't. The fuck?
I've definitely been in situations where, especially politically, because I am dead center, I think both political candidates in the last few years have been absolutely abysmal. The Word. Fact that these are the best people that we have in our country to make president, it's just laughable. And I, like you said a second ago, you want, you know, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, whoever is in office, you don't want everyone in the rest of the world to think you're as dumb as the guy who's in charge. And it's hard to get past that with some people, but I felt like there have been times when I go into a conversation and when, like on social media, I don't do it much anymore, but I used to like debate people on shit and part of it was just to challenge their thinking. So whether it's somebody who's a diehard Republican or a diehard Democrat, I try to get in there and kind of push around their belief or thought in order to like make them think. And oftentimes, these people have a prepared response to everything, as you were saying, where it's like they're not even having a conversation with me as much as they're hitting their marks on a book of how to talk shit to the opposite. And so when I say I'm not a Democrat or I'm not a Republican to the other side, they're like, what do I do now? Like they don't have a good response because none of it's thought out. They've lived in an echo chamber where they're just getting fed confirmation bias and things that just completely support whatever it is they think, when in truth most things are in a very gray area, and it's possible that both sides might have a pretty good idea of how to get to the same place. They're just different, you know.
And just like in the marriage situation on a much larger scale, it shouldn't be me versus you,
right?
It should be we versus problem.
Like, 100%.
It should always be us, the team, and the fucking issue, the problem, is the enemy, and we're gonna team up and figure out how to tackle the enemy, and not fucking you're wrong because of how you want to fix it, how I want to fix it. All this arguing, nothing's getting fixed. We're just arguing. Same thing. You're fighting to win instead of fighting to make anything better.
And people that are just tied to a political party don't really think about the fact that no matter who's in office, it's just 20% good shit, 30% bad shit, and 50% somewhere down the middle shit. And that goes for left or right. So when one side is like, they in their head think, well, if everybody would just follow along with what my party wants, this world would be such a better place. It's just not true. So you shouldn't be so attached to your party, and definitely not super attached to a particular person. Like, how could you be so attached to Biden? How could you be so attached to Trump? There's so many problems with both of them, even though there's some good things with both of them.
Agree to disagree.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, I it's hard.
You can't think of one single thing.
You're kind of right, dude. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice, man. I'm trying to be nice to the people listening who believe this stupid shit.
Oh, man, that took a left turn.
We just live in crazy times, man, where it's just like, most people have a job, they have kids, they have a career, they have hobbies, they got all this different shit. They don't have time to really understand the issues.
Unless it's their job. So it ends up just being the, like, either the, what do most of my people think?
Right.
Or, I mean, obviously there's exceptions every single time. There's a lot of people who absolutely research whatever it is, but that's a beautiful thing too, so much. You can find ample research to support both fucking arguments.
So true,
like, man. So then everyone keeps finding my evidence is evidencier than your evidence is. You believe the earth is flat. What an idiot. And I'm just like, yeah. Around the globe.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I don't know what to do. I'm usually too dumb to come up with the good enough argument just to shut it all up.
Yeah.
Or just not enough words to be able to say straight up, like, I don't want to be in this conversation. what did I do to deserve this?
I just wish as a society we were more along the lines of, hey, let me try to gather as much information, understand things as much as possible, including the other person's argument. And even when I think I know the answer, take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. Like, I don't know the answer. I think I know the answer, but I think I also could learn and find out that I'm wrong. But that's another big problem we have, is that people dig their heels in on something and they call them, so I'm a staunch Republican, I'm a diehard Democrat, whatever it is. And even when they're wrong, or the same could go for certain religious beliefs or whatever thing is your thing, where you just drink the fucking Kool-Aid, where instead of looking at logic and reason, you decide to go right down the line and agree with the good, the bad, and the horrific, no matter what it is, because it's your team.
And with that, there's also a multitude of fuckers that basically, it's not a uniquely male trait, but it is far more male in my opinion than female. But the inability to not so much admit you're wrong, but change your opinion because you spent so long on this side of the fence, kind of thing.
Yep.
Like, you can't have been X, Y, and Z for 10 years. And then, like, receive this new information and, like, oh, geez, no. Oh, shit. I'm ABC this whole time. And then you're so worried. Your people, what the fuck? You get all bent around the axle about that shit. And I'm just like, that's something that as just a humanity as a whole needs to get with the listening to understand. And then being able to change your opinion when you've been given enough information to sway your opinion, not because you feel bad for whoever and their feelings they're having about it, or because you've been with this side or this thing for so long.
Yeah.
How could I change now? Loyalty. And I'm like, it's not loyalty. Like, I think the sign of a grown up, a fully functioning adult, is someone who can learn the information and change their opinion on whatever it is based on the new information.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying, I was wrong, yeah. I misunderstood, or I did not have
all the information. Just who could blame you for that? Like, how many times have you had a knee-jerk reaction to something when you had bare minimal facts?
Yeah, like, I've been wrong.
I've been wrong many a time in my day. Yeah.
No, you're right, man. It is also one of the reasons I look up to guys like Joe Rogan, who I've watched, you know, believe or be down a certain path for years, and then all of a sudden take a hard left because he gives other information, or a hard right because he gets different information. Yeah. And what's funny is that there are people who will come at him or come at you and say, "Well, okay, you believe this, and now you believe it." Yeah, dude. I got new information and I decided I was wrong. And this is now my new course. And this is what I believe.
Like, I mean, there's a bold line between that and being wishy-washy. Like, but the person who won't change their opinion, even though they now believe the other thing that we were talking about a minute ago, are so fucking worried about the public opinion of it all and the being perceived as wishy-washy. That they'll stick with their guns, and I'm just like, your guns aren't loaded, or just, you know, like it's a bad round, it's gonna explode.
It's even worse when you're talking about like religious beliefs or anything like that, because then there's the community aspect. Because
are you gonna go on Sunday now?
Like, right. And what are you gonna tell all your friends who you go to church with, or your family, if you grew up in that belief and you have to tell your parents now that you've, you know, that's a lot of the reason why people are stuck in a lot of the things that they believe or think. It's just much easier than actually thinking for themselves. And
the amount of judgment from most people who believe so wholeheartedly that they'll accost you on occasion. In this book, that one of the main fucking underlined bold fucking statements is, judgment's not your job.
Yeah,
that's my job. Like, that capital H's job. Like, you literally aren't supposed to, so shush your face. Like,
it's pretty wild, dude. And it really comes down to, like, if there is a god, one of the 3,400 gods that we know about, if there's one of those gods is real, like, you'll deal with that when it's your time. It's not a human's job to tell me what I can and can't do.
I mean, and you're
to have tattoos.
No, not even sort of.
The rules, dude. Yet I see people with like crosses and shit, and I'm like, hey, boss, guess what?
Like, there's a whole chapter and verse talking about how that's a big old no-no.
Can't do that.
I know what book it's in because it's been thrown in my face more than once.
Sir, I see you're wearing fabric.
Oh, he knows more about Leviticus.
Street for you, buddy. But I've heard people say, I don't think my God's going to send me to hell for that. But if a man lay with another man,
you just got to flip him over. He's got different parts. You can't lay with him like you'd lay with a woman. You have to flip him over. That's all it is. There's just in the wording.
Equipment.
Like, maybe walk on water meant walked near water back in the day. Maybe it was slang. I don't know. And again, this isn't me telling anyone that theirs is wrong. And I'm really not trying to shit on people when I'm making jokes like this. But
So you know, I am.
He can do. Yeah, I'm going to tell you I'm not. my God would be an understanding fella. And basically, you'd end up with like a report card where, like, if you lived if the good's way over here, like, if you're up by F on full in the good department, then you're good. Like, if you've done enough bad shit that you're on E, like, get out of here. Like, what the fuck? Like, and
I don't think he'd be as petty as he is in the actual book.
Oh, the OT?
Like, he went whip out a piece of paper and he's like, let's have a look at this before we decide if you get to go to heaven. He's like, masturbated 472,000 times.
There's some rookie numbers. You gotta pump the numbers up.
You gotta talk. Why are you worried about what I do with my dick, dude? That's silly.
You gave it to me and you made it feel so good.
You did. And if I walk out with a full sack, you make me make bad decisions. So it's good. I got to get the poisons out.
If I hit a bump in my wheelchair just right, and like, get that feeling in your gut before it goes to the low back, and then you got to get flat, which I can't do if I'm in a wheelchair. So I'm just sitting there dying. Yeah, no, man. Lighten the load. Get her done. But no, that would be – so that would be my take on all of it is, in general, be good and treat people well. And if you ultimately do more good things than bad things at the end. Like, if you got an A or a B, maybe a C+.
Yeah. Like, if I just get a passing grade, that's what I need to pass.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I, you know, you thought about X, Y, and Z a lot. And I'm like, but I didn't do none of them, did I? I didn't do one of them out loud, sir.
I understand that part of the whole thing for it to work is fear, and people are afraid to challenge the belief. But here's the thing. Let's just say that the Christian God is real.
Word.
So many things about that belief system and the things that are expected and the things that are said and aren't said, I just don't, as a human being with all the senses that I was quote unquote given, I just don't think that that's the most moral way to be. And I believed if there was some type of God and I just missed it, I've been a good person. I don't wrong people. I don't cheat people. And I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all, because even if there were a God who said, hey, man, you suck because you didn't bow down and you didn't do X thing and X thing, I'd be like, that's bullshit.
A great person the whole time. Like,
exactly. There's much worse people up
people
here.
People are sad I'm gone, man. Because I didn't kiss your boots. Like,
and the amount of people that would be, you know, suffering in hell, including the Einsteins and all the brilliant scientists, most of the comedians, all would be in hell, because almost anyone whose life is to be observant don't end up believing in those things. So you just, on top of that, man, like, all the things that I do that are quote unquote sins, which, by the way, there's no victim in these crimes. I don't want to spend eternity not doing those things. Like, even if that was what the offer was on the table.
That's another thing too. Almost all the things that are awesome to do fall into the category.
Right.
The whole, if you're wrong, I wasted my life. If you're wrong, you wasted your eternity or whatever.
Pascal's wager.
Sure. Like Schrodinger's cat. But
Occam's razor.
Yeah, I'm going to be in this horribly all white place. It just seemed do we get sunglasses or is that against the rules? Like, I don't know. I like the, So in the daydreaming or being high and just doing this, my hell is actually the whole seven circles of hell. But like the upper decks are, you know, like white collar crimes and, you know, can get time in the yard and all that good stuff. Like eventually you can get day passes to go fuck with people in the lower circles and Hitler and anyone who touches kids. And all that, they're all in the seventh circle of hell where they get pineapple shoved up their ass every day. And like, but if you were just fun and ultimately you didn't murder and kill and rape and pillage. So you're in the first couple. And then I get to hang out with, like, you know, Johnny and June, and have some of the best concerts probably ever.
Yeah, great concerts, good comp, great orgies, probably have the best drugs, like, it's probably.
And then get on good behavior, get down there so I can shove a pineapple up Hitler's ass
every once in a while.
Get good. Like, that's my hell.
And if you're in the sixth circle, then you have to shove a pineapple up Hitler's ass, then you got to eat the pineapple.
Yuck.
That's better.
Yuck,
than
sir.
It's better than getting the pineapple shoved up your ass, though. Probably.
If these were the options, I guess. I don't like this conversation anymore. We've taken a turn. All right, so we're going to get off religion entirely, because you told me you did your homework, and I'm really excited about it, and I will take a minute to talk about a television program on our podcast.
No, I'm cool with it, but I'm not going to remember it. I started to go back and watch it a second time with my son, and then he left, so I got one episode in, so I do need to go back and revisit to get real deep with you.
All right, fine, but overall, as someone who's never watched Avatar The Last Airbender, yeah, how did you feel about The Last Airbender, the live action Netflix program?
I loved it, dude. I loved the characters. I loved the character development. I loved the actors. I loved the
actor.
Dude, it was funny. You know how at the beginning of it, there's like a sequence where they kind of like silhouettedly show all the four elements or whatever.
Yeah. That's how the cartoon always starts. But yeah.
Yes. Okay, so when I watched that, the CGI wasn't great, but I think that was intentional. But yeah. I thought that was going to be the CGI for the whole show. And okay. I was like, oh, this is going to be rough.
But then you were very quickly proven wrong, because that earthbender running from the firebenders at the beginning, man, that was when I was sold on it, because their fire was looking sick, and the earth was doing its thing too, because that was the problem with the movie that doesn't exist, was the bending was just... beyond the bending being a nightmare, they didn't pronounce anyone's fucking names right. Like, their source material. Why does two A's make an O sound? Anyways, the M. Night's version, they didn't create fire. They could control it if it already existed. So, like, when they start doing their thing, they're pulling from lit torches and shit. And I'm just like, like, they nerfed the entire Fire Nation.
That was one thing that was a little weird to me, though, because if you're doing water or earth, you have to have those things present, obviously, right? Like when you use water elements, they pulled from water, right?
Well, yeah. So yeah, if you're ever doing, she has to carry around a canteen, basically, that she has bending water on her at all times.
So that was what was curious to me, is that everyone needed, you know, obviously you have earth because you're standing on earth, but yeah, everyone earth needed is, that element nearby in order to use it, except for fire, where fire, they just generated it out of thin air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't
so
that, well, that a little inconsistent?
I wouldn't go that far either, because I mean, oxygen overheated fire. And so they have enough air around them that they can get the heat going, whatever. And they eventually get into the who taught them about it. In the lore, who taught who, you know, we get into the fact that, waterbenders were taught by the moon, Tui and La, the koi, that's push and pull. They saw how the moon and the tides worked and worked out bending because they were powered up and inspired by the moon.
Interesting.
Earthbenders were taught by the badger moles. you've seen badger moles now. I would say that's the things in the tunnel.
Yeah.
They were the original earthbenders, and the original earthbenders learned from them how to do it. Airbenders were taught by sky bison. That was their thing. And then dragons.
Sky bison are badass.
Dude. I know. Korra ends up having a polar bear dog, and I'm just like, damn, Appa was the one. Naga's cool. Naga does some cool ass shit. And again, it's a giant polar bear dog. It's like a dog werewolfing into a polar bear.
I don't think you can say Naga.
My Naga. No. That is the name of the Avatar Korra's polar bear dog, people. N-A-G-A.
Dude, this is we can go back to this, back to what we're talking about, but I just thought of this. The guy that I'm talking about having on that I met at the bar, he's a black dude. And the first couple nights we're hanging out, I was just talking to him about, you know, like just political shit around black people and whatever, and he just hadn't had that conversation. And a couple days later he texts me, he goes, "Do you low key hate black people?" And I go, "No, dude, not even a little bit." And he goes, I said, "What would make you say that?" And he's like, "Well, you just were asking some." And I said, "No, I'm just not afraid to talk about things." And I'm like, "It's not even the case whatsoever. There's shit about black and white culture that I don't like, but it has nothing to do with individual people. I mostly like everyone and hate everyone equally." And he's like, "Oh, cool. What's going on tonight?" Like, over it quick.
Yeah. Well, because mine is nothing to do with color. I dislike you because of who you are as a person. Or I love you because of who you are as a person. Exactly. Or want to hang out. Like, because you're fun to hang out with. I don't give a shit what shade you are.
No, I said that to him, basically. I said, "Dude," I said, "and within, you know, it's as many people as I meet, it's very infrequent that I meet someone where I feel pretty instant chemistry with." And I said, "I felt that with you." I said, "I just felt a friendship like right off the bat."
Yeah, and sometimes it could be awesome.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with that you were black or you weren't black or anything. Just felt like you and I hit it off, and I wouldn't have asked you to be on the podcast within, you know, a few days of meeting you if I didn't like you.
Yeah. That bums me out that, I don't know, he's not had enough white people who were just curious and wanted to know in his life, yeah, that he immediately thought it was because of something negative. And I hate that life has him trained to think that way. That fucking sucks.
Well, it's definitely gotten worse in the last little bit too.
Oh, for sure. Well, because the media and everything is constantly telling you that everyone hates everyone. Yeah. Like, and I was like, if you just give me a minute and we'll chat, like, it's all good. Like, I hate that anyone that is either taught that, but, or especially went through it, like, yeah, and, you know, had these terrible people just as a plague on their life. And that fucking sucks. And I hope most can be level-headed enough to not lump everyone in with the person who looks the most like the person who destroyed my life.
Kind of thing.
And I actually, I literally just had this. The anniversary of it just passed. So I had, I was understandably, in my opinion, leery around Middle Easterners for about a decade after I was injured.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a deployment and some change, the person shooting or doing the bombing and doing all the bad things looked like this. And, and I was never outwardly anything. I would never yell at people stateside or anything like that. I was never rude, ever. I never let it go that far. But right. I was never fully at ease around someone of Middle Eastern descent. And I didn't think it was a fucking problem. One, because I was never acting on it. And two, I felt justified in my distaste for a Middle Eastern person. And it took actually I doubt he's the ambassador now, but the ambassador to Afghanistan came to an event and he was going to be the guest speaker. And it was one of the charities I used to support and or work for. They don't exist anymore, but I was speaking or doing something. I was always helping. I was always doing something. But so I met him. He coined me faster and smoother than anyone has ever done it. And I thought that that was crazy because I've been coined by sergeants major and freaking, you know, generals and all kinds of stuff. And it was so smooth because, again, my
coined. What do you mean coined you?
Sorry. Challenge coins in the military. The originally it would have been World War One. Pilot went down, crawled into France. They captured him, said he was an American. They were like, nah, you're a spy. We're going to kill you dead. But he had a coin that had his unit's flight insignia on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, oh shit. Okay. He's an American. Awesome. So it became common practice for American aviators to carry a coin on them that had their insignia denoted that they were indeed an American. And then in true military fashion, it became a drinking game. So modern day stuff is, you know, everyone can make one and pass them out. But, you know, you get ones from your unit and commanders and people who mean something to you. But it's basically like if I had a president coin and we're at the bar and you slap some senator down and I'm like, I got and because yours outranks theirs, they pay for the next round. Or if it's like a unit thing, if someone forgot theirs, they got the next round kind of thing. And so when someone gives you one, the unwritten rule is they shake your hand with it in their hand.
Oh,
like a spy handoff situation.
Yeah.
So you don't know you're not supposed to know it's happening until you shake their hand and you feel it in your palm. And then you then let go and put it directly in your pocket. And then you look at it like when they're not around, like later.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Like there, you got, and then the tradition's lost on a lot because some people would be like, "I want you to, like, here you go. I want you to have that." I'm just like, "Oh, thanks." Like, and then you got some of the want to look at it right in their face, and I'm like, "Oh God, stop it!" But so it was before his speech, and his speech helped change my mind, and I did the work, and I'm good with my Middle Eastern brown homies now. But and apologize to a few along the way. But so I'm talking, me and Ash were meeting him, and his assistant was there. His wife was not. She's from South Carolina, his wife. he was a younger guy. He was only a few years older than us. And we were talking for a little bit, and he was super intelligent, and I was enjoying the conversation. And I was watching his hands the whole time. He shook my hand when we met. And never put them in his pocket and never accepted something from someone else. And then at the end of it, shook my hand and there was a fucking coin in my hand.
Wow.
I was like, he's a goddamn magician. What the fuck? So I put it in my pocket. Of course I did. I know the rules. I put it in my pocket and we went about our night. But I was like, damn, how is the ambassador to Afghanistan the smoothest and cleanest, most magician like coining I've ever gotten in my life? But sorry, to the point of why I brought him up.
I wish you would have pulled it from behind your ear. That would have been fucking awesome. What's that behind your ear, Ty?
It's less secret code. Like, it's supposed to be on the low low. But so his speech that night, though, was gratitude for the American military and how the first thing that Al-Qaeda or Taliban did when they set up shop was drag the good Afghani's names through the mud. So now whenever you see someone of Afghani descent, you know, Pashtudari, whatever it is, you immediately think that person might be up to no good or something because of these terrible people. Like that was he said that in his speech and it hit me like a ton of fucking bricks.
Yeah.
Like the first thing they did, people always forget, the first thing they did was drag my people's name through the mud. But he closed it out with, I want to thank you again for getting us to a point where we can finish the fight that you started for us. And I just, the gratitude in his speech and how he opened my eyes big time to that.
Yeah.
Of just, you can't let, we said it, I said it way earlier, but yeah, you can't let the head of the snake or the extremists or the people who take it way too fucking far.
Yeah.
Have you be painted that the entirety of that people or the people who believe that or whatever are like that.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I guess I always felt like people didn't make a distinction between the two phrases, racist or prejudice. And I feel like everybody has a little prejudice in them. And that's just prejudge where you look at somebody and, you know, I mean, let's just be honest, like in our society as it is today, if you're walking down the street by yourself, how are you going to feel if there's a black male or a white female walking by you? You know what I mean? Or a Middle Eastern person, like to have that fear is based on something. But to treat someone differently or to not give people the opportunity to show you who they are as a human being is a travesty. But I feel like it's also dishonest to think that we don't, even if it's just a man in general, a man versus a woman walking down the street at night in the dark, you're going to be a little more aware if there's a dude.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't even come down to something negative, honestly. You see me rolling towards you.
Yeah.
Tank top, tattoos, whatever. Your initial thing is that's probably a veteran. That's probably what's left of a veteran.
Right.
You see you walking down the street. It wouldn't be a leap to think that's definitely a musician of some sort.
Right.
Like, I mean.
Yeah.
In a lot of senses, it's it's what's this taste like? Put it on my tongue. Now I know what it tastes like. Like, it's just, it's literally innocent. In that a lot of stuff that you prejudge people on, quote unquote, is just you taking in data. And then, if you're constantly reminded from this movie or that show or that documentary or that news outlet or that news outlet or that news outlet, like that particular person is the bad guy and they hate you. So if you see them, they hate you. You can't hear that constantly and not have it at least in the back of your head when you run into X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing too, because there are clearly statistics about crime. There's clearly statistics about terrorism. There's clearly statistics about all these things. Obviously, those are the most extreme people, but it's not unreasonable to be fearful and aware that men or black men or Middle Eastern men or Mexican men or certain people in our society have a higher percentage of crime rate. They just do. And it's something that is in the back of everyone's mind. And I'm not saying this because I'm racist in any way, shape, or form. I'm saying this because this is a truth that people don't want to acknowledge. And I think there's a part of you that has to understand where your fear comes from, and you have to control that. And there's a part of the other side of it is the people that you're in fear of, proving there's nothing to be afraid of. This is just a dance that we all have to go through, you know?
Yeah. And so that's the thing too. So it's funny. We've touched on everything you just said throughout this whole podcast, like it's a fucking plan. It shouldn't. So again, big Michael Clark Duncan, black guy,
mm-hmm.
dark alley. One, you're already nervous. It's a dark alley.
Yep.
It doesn't even have to be a black guy.
Right.
This could be against people who are height and broad in excess as well.
And tattoos.
It could be a giant white dude with a million tattoos, bald, looking like a sick pagan or a fucking mm-hmm. Hell's Angel. Like it's not specifically about color ever. But there's
something for that too.
There's evidence in your head, and you're gonna be more aware anyways of anything. If it was a little half a dude who you think you could take in a fight, you'd be far less worried.
Right.
But when you see someone who can absolutely wreck your world if they wanted to, you're going to be paying attention as you go by. With any woman, if I'm rolling down the street and a single solitary woman is coming towards me, I will likely either pull into the next thing so she can go by or go the fuck across the street or something, because one, I ain't trying to be in that situation anyways.
Yeah.
Where if I say something, have a good night, walk safe, kill them all. And it can turn into he said this, he grabbed my ass, something. And yeah. like a lot of people's knee jerk reaction would be like, well, he did it. Look at him. He's a guy. Yeah. Therefore, he's the problem. And I'm just like, yeah, I wouldn't be in that fucking situation. Plus, if a girl wanted to beat my ass, I'd be forced by my morals to let her. Like, I'm not hitting her back. It wouldn't happen. I'd block all day. I'd move. I'd get away. Yeah. But I'm not hitting her. So yeah, even so, if I'm going down and she's looking like she's looking for something, she took her hoops out already. Like I'm gonna go across the street too. Like, cause I'll piss her off more if I say something. So I just might as well not get my ass whooped.
Like, we were talking.
I have to let her hit me a lot.
Me and my son were talking earlier. He said there's a bunch of female cops in our town that we grew up in now. And he was like, man, I'm not saying they couldn't beat my ass, but I'm saying if I'm ever running, that's when I'm running. And I'm like, Big Jay Oakerson used to joke all the time, like he could take several female cops at one time. It's just not the job for them. And I'm like, I might have agreed with you before I saw women's MMA, dude.
Oh, there's yeah.
bad bitches out there, dude. Oh, dude, whoop your ass.
Well, yeah, you see on the, you know, the statistics and the biology of it all and how just baseline males are stronger, X, Y, and Z, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Actual real science and evidence. But there are so many goddamn exceptions. Yeah. And not only are there so many badasses, like, you know, Ronda Rousey and all them, who would break me in half with their pinky.
For real, dude.
But like
with a snap kick right to the gut.
In every way you spin it, I judge a lot of stuff from what they would be capable of, the potential of, if you were to train up this person on that thing, like they could crush it. And you can't tell me that something that can push a watermelon out of a lemon sized hole a lot of times with a no drugs or any other situation. I've been on an epidural before, ladies. I've been on an epidural before and I still felt my legs and how much they were blown to smithereens. So I know they can feel their lady bits being jostled about and rearranged while it's happening. Like, so if anything that can do that is capable of learning how to fuck your shit up like dynamite. Like, yeah. So, I mean, there's two different sides of it too. When someone says that a woman can't do it or women can't do it, I'm like, every woman could not be in the infantry. Every right. woman couldn't be in the MMA. But every man can't be in the infantry. Like, 100%. Every man can't be in the MMA, because you put me in an octagon, I'm getting my ass whooped fast. Like, yeah. I might start helping him. Just get me out of here faster.
You're right on, dude. Like, Joe Rogan has a bit about that where he talked about the first time they ever let a woman guard the front door of the White House, a dude broke in and fucking swatted her to the ground. And he goes, I don't think a woman should be doing that job. Most women should be doing that job. And he goes, I also don't think I should be doing that job. He said, I've seen Shaq and his dick is where my head is.
Yeah. It's like, we're barely the same thing.
He's like, we're not this. He said, if me and Shaq were holding hands, we'd look like a dad and a kid holding hands in the park.
Yeah. And that's the whole fucking thing is, you know, oh, well, women can't do it. And then everyone's just like, oh, that's an affront. And I'm like, no. Like, they're saying that, but like, there's a whole lot of fucking dudes who can't do it either. I sure.
Right.
trust me, I've watched people drop out of basic training, let alone infantry and everything else training, like run away before we deploy. Like,
dude, men couldn't have babies. We fucking, even if we could, dude, we die when we get a common cold.
Oh, dude, there's a comedian that talks about that too. So first off, let me address what you just said about man colds. That man cold shit, that pisses me off. The rest of yous need to tighten the fuck up, fellas. Like, that is a stereotype I do not support, because I'm the guy, like, if I'm going to the hospital, it's because it's an infection that's going to kill me. Like, if I know, I'll fight that shit to the bitter end. My dad was that way too, where fucking like shit in the Marines, they'd make fun of me. But if I started to feel something coming on, I'd go buy a whole thing of emergency and a thing of Simply Orange. And just, I would just vitamin C overload for the next 2 days, and I'd be, and I would do NyQuil at night, and I'd be fine in a couple days. Yeah. And fucking like, I ain't admitting I'm sick, let alone putting on some fucking show about it and making it everyone else's problem. Like,
well, I'm
the antithesis of Sheldon.
Yeah.
Like the flip where, yeah, if I admit to you I'm sick, it's fucking real.
Yeah, my point was there's a lot of things when women do much better than men. Rogan just had I keep bringing Rogan up, not purposely. It just happens to be fitting the conversation in various ways. But he just had an episode where he interviewed the girl who was number 3 in the country in swimming when the whole Leah Thomas thing went down.
Riley Gaines.
Yep, exactly. And the episode was fucking mind-blowing, the shit that was going on behind closed doors and the things that were being said to her. And I'm like, you have to accept the fact that men and women are built differently, just physically differently. Men have wider hips, they have larger hands, they have wider shoulders. They're just things that men are made for combat and made for certain physical, very physical things. They just are. That's just genetics. That's the way it's been for hundreds.
Which again, hundreds there's obviously of years. Exceptions both ways, but like just of course.
In general,
baseline. Yeah.
So it's just listening to her talk about all that was another. I was damn near as mad as I was when I watched the program, where the kind of shit that they were, you know, forcing on them, and if they would say they didn't like the fact that he was changing, in the locker room with his fucking dick out. That they didn't like that, they would force them to go to some kind of acceptance training. Like they weren't like going, yeah, you're right. That's probably not the best thing. They were saying, no, you're wrong for not wanting him to change in your locker room. And they were just literally trying to brainwash these women into accepting something that they should never have accepted.
And collegiate athletes is where you're going to try to start that game.
It's crazy.
Like, those people are disciplined as fuck and have been doing this their entire fucking lives and working towards this their entire fucking Olympics.
And how
you're going to tell Olympians?
Yeah.
To just, you're wrong. It's this, it's that. No, these men and women, and in this situation, women have literally excelled to the top of the world's field in their specific thing.
Yeah.
Like, and you're going to tell them that they're not this or that, or tell them something that isn't true and try to get them to believe it. Yeah, the fuck right. These are some of the most strong-minded, strong-willed people that have probably ever existed. Like top 20% of humanity, Olympians.
Yeah. And here's this dude who was ranking 460th.
Yeah. Something so shitty. Yeah.
And then is dominating women by 2 seconds and shit. They ended up having some huge event, and her and Leah tied exact same to the 100th of a second in this match. They go to the back to get the trophy, and they basically said to her, "Well, unfortunately, we only have one trophy, and it's got to go to Leah." And she's like, "Why? Why?" And they're like, "Well, we can send you one, but for the pictures, Leah's got to have the trophy in her hand." And I'm like, how have we fucking lost our minds? You've taken a small percentage of people who are marginalized, and I definitely am for equality, and I don't care if anyone wants to change their sex. It doesn't bother me. I'm for it. Tell me what to call you, I'll call you that. Don't care. But let's be real about
don't get super duper offended if I accidentally fuck it up. Like, I'm trying, I swear.
Right.
Like, yeah, that was something I wanted to say, was like, I have nothing against anyone. I don't want to say those people. That sounds crazy. But just, yeah, them-ins. No, I'm goofing. But the people who born in the wrong body and need to do all these, do you. Go live your life. I don't care. Don't make it everyone else's problem. Yay. But like also, yeah, and I'll do my best to respect what you're doing. You do your best to respect what I'm doing. Cool. Don't care. But yeah, no. Girls sports, men's sports, make a trans sports. Make their own division.
Make a complete open division if you want. Separate. Yeah.
whatever. Yeah, make a ruleless one or whatever, and just yeah, don't. You're literally taking biology, like taking an unfair advantage, and you're a whole piece of shit as an athlete for thinking that is okay. Anyways, like you think it's anyone who's willing to cut a huge corner like that isn't a champion anyways. Like that's a whole piece of shit who doesn't deserve to be there. Like
what really upsets me about it is how quickly the people who not, and I'm not talking about Leah Thomas. I'm talking about the people that fight for and get in the street and yell at you for not supporting it. Those people, how can they shit on women who fought so hard to get their part of the pie? Like that's what fucking bothers me, is how quickly these virtue signaling assholes come in and say, "Hey man, what the fuck?" You know, like where they want to make you believe something that makes no sense, and they're doing it to look like good people while shitting on women.
So that's what yeah, fuck,
dude.
Everything else was always about the straight white man. And while that's horseshit, I get it. Like the straight white man's been responsible for a lot of fucking negative shit. So it's very yep. easy to build up a hatred for the straight white man. And yep. I get it totally. That's not coming from nowhere. But yeah, no. Women have suffered for fucking a lot of women worked very hard. A lot were fucking beat down, fucking killed for it to be able to vote, to be able to fucking live side by side by people. And then you're going to fucking, and now this new movement is going to shit all over them like that. Like, no. We just fought real fucking hard to get here. We just got done fighting to get here, bitch. Like, get the back of the line.
All the hard work that was done for women for 1% of the population in an illogical way.
Yeah, go suffer for 70 years, 100 years. Go fucking go to the back of the line, bitch. You are not next in line to get the respect that women fought so fucking hard for.
Yeah, dude. And then if you were to have this conversation, I think it's getting better with the cancel culture shit, but you would be because
they pushed it so fucking hard. You say one thing and you're fucking done for. You can't do X, Y, and Z in 10 years because of this one thing you said.
Well, they
people clearly, are not allowed to learn and grow.
I think there's been a lot of pushback, including the Shane Gillis hosting Saturday Night Live shit, which was amazing. But yeah, it's lost its way. It's gotten so out of hand and crazy and so illogical and so out of it just doesn't make any sense, man. Like people are, I'm for everyone having the same opportunity, not the same outcome. Everyone should have an equal opportunity and they don't. And I would say even what you were saying a second ago, like being a white straight male is not a great thing to be right now. It's not a bad thing to be because there's ways that it's still advantageous, but it's the one of the most hated things to be on the planet.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the straight white man was in charge of everything for so long and fucking ruined everyone's lives. So now future straight white man going to suffer.
Yeah.
I'm just. I will not ever discredit what people went through 100 years ago, 200 years ago, however many years ago, whichever atrocity you're talking about happened. But I'm not going to give you sympathy for something I didn't do and something you didn't go through.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
You're not getting empathy or sympathy from me on something that I didn't do and you didn't go through, or vice versa. Just like if I felt I was deserved some sort of fucking respect and didn't go through whatever trials and tribulations you thought were necessary to get said respect, like
yeah. You definitely have to look at, you know, like take black people, for example. You definitely have to look at how, you know, if you look at the timeline, there's a particular documentary called, I think it's called 13th, where you really see the timeline of where once slavery ended and then there was just general racism and the way that they did real estate and the way that they did funding for schools and all these things, like, you can definitely see why black culture suffers today because of that. So even though slavery doesn't exist and hasn't existed in generations, most generations today, you can still see how it affects that. But we're also at a point where, like you said, like I wasn't involved in that. I wouldn't have supported that. You wouldn't have supported that. So now we have to like both.
I don't know a person who would support any of that.
No, like I don't.
If I did, I don't. I assure you, I don't associate with them anymore. Like that. Again, you're mad at me because of this historical figure that I look like. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's at a point now where no one owes anyone anything for just being. We all have to look in the mirror and do a better job at being good people. That's it. It's kind of the type of thing I was talking to Calvin about, where I'm just like, look, man, I understand black people went through shit. I understand, but where does that end to be an excuse for action? You know, like if you're not being mistreated by somebody, you don't have a reason to be shitty to that person.
I don't know that. And again, it's not black specifically either. Oh my God. One of the most ridiculous things that I will always hate and always fight against are the people who either have a victim mentality or are trying to train a victim mentality into somebody.
Yeah.
Ooh, third, people who enable victim mentality also can go suck all the dicks.
You see that a lot. You see that a lot in young people, man.
Because I just got what makes you wake up and want to say, I'm this, I'm that. Like he said something that upset me, or just why he's out to get me. And I'm just like, even if I was out to get you, why? And if you know it, why aren't you preparing? Why aren't you working and making it to where I can't get to you? Like, or I can't, whatever. Like, why is the thing to go to? He hit me. Like, right. I just victim doesn't make sense. Victor for the win.
Well, but there's also so many sides to the victim. You know, like people do things to lead to them being victimized as well. And I'm not trying to victim blame, because I've been a victim in things. But what I'm saying is that oftentimes the person who's quickest to yell victim doesn't want to point out why they were quote unquote a victim. Sometimes it was something that they did. Sometimes it was an action that they took. Or I get caught up in these stupid fucking reality shows, dude, on Netflix, where I'm just like, why not? Let me watch this. And I see that shit all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing, man. And it's easy for a person of color or a female or a gay person to play that card without proper reason, you know.
We're like, well, it's just a blanketed thing, like because I'm gay, because I'm this, because I'm that.
Yeah.
You will easily believe that I have been mistreated because of that.
Or you're just a cunt.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. Like none of this is to say that people who've actually been through some fucking heinous ass shit, because evil people do evil things.
Yep.
Like, I am not saying that you being a victim of the things that happened to you and acting like a victim are two very different things.
100%.
Like, people who've been through some very real shit, were very evil people, were evil and terrible to them. Like, I'm hoping that you're doing the work to get past it all, because I wouldn't want that demon that entered your life to monopolize any more time in your future.
Yeah.
The longer you let that trauma sit and fester, the longer that person's living rent fucking free in your life.
I think if
you do the work and you get through it, then they don't got the power over you anymore, and they did not fucking defeat you.
I'm pretty sure that anybody who was actually a victim wouldn't be offended by anything that we said. I think it's the people who are not victims would be offended by what was being said.
100%. And that was it. While I know they got thick skin and can handle this shit because they've been through worse, I still wanted to say that because I see you and I'm sorry that whatever it was happened.
And it's like all that's kind of made its way into like dating too. You're a single dude. Like it's not a good landscape right now.
No.
It's a fucking terrible landscape. Men, like women try to date by hating men. They're like, oh, I'm going to get on a fucking dating site, but I hate all men. Like, bro, we're already doomed. Like, how is this even going to work? Because guess what? I am far from perfect, and so is every other dude, and so is every female.
Oh, but dude, they're
not perfect.
They can almost never see past the wheelchair and what that would potentially mean for what they'd have to probably do for me or whatever.
Yeah, well.
And I'm like, I lived alone for a while. I'm raising two kids. I've got this.
Yeah.
I don't need you here for any caretaking or physical shit.
It's crazy, man. As I've gotten older, I've gotten more to the point of like, it's not at all that I think anyone should settle into any kind of abusive relationship or whatever.
But I think our
society has gotten so obsessed with instant gratification that people will get with somebody and shit's good, but they're still like, well, maybe it could be a little better, so I'm going to move on. Like, you just find somebody that's pretty damn cool, and you work it out, and you make a fucking life together, and you have years to put behind yourselves and things to share. And instead, it's like, if things aren't, you don't go down a girl's checklist of all the perfect things that she wants in a man, which doesn't exist. If you're not all those things, I'm just going to hold out till I find that. Well, cool. Meanwhile, we're going to fucking have a population problem here in a little while whenever nobody's fucking.
Yeah.
Or having kids.
Well, the whole happy wife, happy life thing, whenever that started, was definitely part of the downfall of what we're talking about here. Because when happy wife, happy life, it should always just be happy house, happy spouse, or flip up, whichever. But like it's all teamwork. Like if you can't give 100 today, I'll cover your what you can't cover. Like in fucking, it came down from that where it was happy wife, happy life, and then you know, which mutated into the I'm the prize, no man counts. He has to show me that he's earned me, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, it's both. It has to go both ways. Like and you end up having these guys who, yeah, like you said, string them along for a little bit, and then fucking because they don't meet every single last little checklist, because you're all that matters and your happiness is all that matters, you're going to gradually just be wrecking dudes anyways and ruining this great guy for the next whoever. But I mean, and again, it goes both ways. Men use women, women use men. But like that's the main fucking problem right now, is everyone's got these mile long checklists.
Yeah.
And have two arms.
It's equally gross. It's equally gross that women or men want a mother, you know, like someone to do their laundry and fucking be a mother. It's equally gross.
Preach.
Yeah. It's equally gross that men want that. And that women on the flip side want the princess treatment, or like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to be the wife, so I don't have to do this, and that. I'm just the wife. Like,
how about nobody jumps through hoops? How about we take two people, two fucking smart, kind, loving people. We come together. We figure out where we need to work on shit. We work on shit. We learn to communicate well, and we both pick up the slack. Like,
boom. Because you said it better than I fumbled over my point. But you said it, the guy who expects I'm home, why are my boots still on? Yeah. Like, I was at work all day. Why am I still standing here with my boots on? You should already be down there taking them off. Where's my dinner?
Not going to suck itself.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to need my boots off, some head. And then when I'm done with that, dinner should be ready, right? That dude can go directly to hell. And anyone who thinks that their partner is there to service them in any, like,
yeah,
that, or only to fill these voids, like, and it's one-sided like that.
Dude,
like, all those people can just burn in hell because a relationship is give and take. Both, every, like, I gotta care about you, what you want, she gotta care what I want, and then we're gonna, as a team, make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, I agree, man. and it's like, so many people come in with some type of expectations to be treated like the world, but here's the funny thing, man. When you, let's say that, you know, guy meets girl and they're courting each other, they live separate, they're courting each other, they're dating. You know, number one, a lot of problem is that people will put on a front right off the get-go. Like, they're faking, they're trying to present themselves in a way to, you know, to win this person over.
Highlight reel.
But let's also, like, look at, you go out of your way to be these loving things to win. And then when you get domestic after a couple of years or whatever, and you're living together, then all that goes out the window. And that's crazy. Like, that, what it should literally be is, it should be the person that you were doing, you know, be yourself when you're trying to win. And when you win, then just keep being yourself. And you're two different people that live together who are trying to be a team. It's the mentality that people have when it comes to relationships is fucking bananas, dude.
Oh, no, like, yeah. Either you keep up the facade for the rest of your life, or you drop it after, like, year, I don't know, 2 to 5.
Yeah.
And then, like, are shocked when your marriage ends because you Scooby-Doo fucking masked and you're actually a dickhead, like, yeah. Or you're actually a gold digging whore, whatever, yeah, it is. But, like, lying is a young man's game. Like, I don't want to try to remember what I told you. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you what it is. Plus, when I find someone and we, you know, we've, fill each other's holes. that was the turn of phrase that came to me. You know what I'm saying, though? If we're gonna try to build a life together, and that we're gonna be each other's everything.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I lost my whole train of thought because of filling each other's holes.
Yep.
What was I saying?
You were saying, fuck, I don't even remember now.
Whoops.
Yeah, it threw me for a loop, too.
That fucked me right up, and it absolutely put a speed bump right in the point. Man, I was on a roll, too, and it felt like it was going to hit hard. I'm sorry, everybody.
Whatever the case, man. It's
Alzheimer's.
People just overcomplicated is all I'm saying. Like,
100%.
I get that we're living in a world now where everybody's got so many things at their fingertips that they'd rather just stay single and sit at home than to deal with somebody's bullshit. Mm. So, but we're also going back to shit we were talking about earlier. I feel like that women in general go for shitty dudes and then hate all dudes for the actions of shitty dudes. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. And then so many of the nice guys that think they're nice guys are actually douchebags. And when I say nice guys, I actually mean nice guys. I don't mean Scooby-Doo mask people, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, obviously, yeah, dick faces and Scooby-Doo mask nice guys are really ruining it for the rest of us. Because some of us got some actual hurdles, man. I got to find the ramp. And what if she likes righties? Like, what if that's non-negotiable? What if they have to have two arms? I'm fucked. So like, she already hates me because I'm a man. Fuck.
you're really gonna hate to hear this.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Like, I'm not even an entire man. Like, I'm just, yeah, these fuck boys are making everything even harder.
Yeah.
So how about we tighten up, fellas? Come on.
I heard lots of women say that they're just not excited by a nice guy. They want that fucking asshole that they can't tame so they can try to tame him because it's exciting. And I'm like, well, that's fine if that's what you like. But you can't turn around in the same breath and say all men suck.
Yeah.
No, they don't. All men don't suck. There's lots of great men. I know many great men. The men you date suck. And yeah, you keep going for them and you're not going to stop.
I was like, your taste in men is unimpeccable. Right. Just the opposite of impeccable.
I want a guy that is handsome and works out and makes lots of money, but has $600K,
but has all the time to go on vacations. Yeah.
Cares about me and holds me up and only looks at me and does this and does that. It's like, come on.
Is it dark hair and light hair and light eyes and be very strong and very fit, but also have a dad bod?
Dude, if I have chemistry with a person and they're kind and they get my sense of humor, I don't care if we have much in common. I don't need the same hobbies. And as far as the rest of it goes, like, you can work through most of it. Like it's so simple. I don't have a particular type. I don't have a particular, I'm pretty open to just a good person that I have some kind of chemistry with. And it's so goddamn hard to find. It's crazy.
Word.
I thought about doing a podcast of something along the lines of like just having hot people on and like grilling them about dating and shit. Like, just nothing but attracting males and females and like giving them shit about it.
Oh, so we need a lady too. I was like, I'm right here. Ask me all the questions you want, man.
You know, the ones that are just slinging dick and fucking, I don't know, dude.
Dick slingers.
I just feel like the world of dating is so fucked that there's a podcast in there somewhere that's interesting.
For sure. Sort of. It's all poop, eh?
I just don't know the angle. Well, fuck, dude. We're an hour and a half in. I was trying
We can segue with that. We're talking about tasting men. My ex, Ashley, has impeccable taste in men because her new man is also awesome. But he has a clothing brand, and I was rocking my dad vet or tank top from makeorbreakapparel.com. They're all about, defeating your demons and working through it and putting in the work. And it's funny, Ash has a type because I got a clothing company too. but I was like, oh, I got to wear that one. And I was like, oh, man. I'm going to find a good little segue in and fucking just bring up makeorbreakapparel.com and fucking bam.
Cool. Well, as soon as we get off here, I'm going to go make a clothing company.
Oh, shit. You're not going to get Ash, though.
Throwing my hat in the ring.
You ain't going to get Ash. Mike treats her right.
No, he seems like a great dude from everything.
See, that would be the wedge between me. If you actually, me and Mike would have to fight you, and he could beat you with me. Because he's real strong. He's like, I'm gonna beat you with your podcast partner.
I don't want to date Ash. I just want him to beat me with you and put it on camera so we can blow up to something big.
We'll go viral so fast. We'll go viral faster than COVID.
A motherfucker beats a motherfucker with another motherfucker.
with a portion of another motherfucker. I am down. I
fucking love it.
Down like Bobby Brown. Let's go.
Right on. You got a website or anything for that?
Yeah, I said it like three times. makeorbreakapparel.com.
Oh, I did miss that part. That's unfortunate.
he does a lot of the legwork on his own. It's really, and father and stepfather of two. And has a full-time job and is a loving partner. I would say he juggles a lot, and the fact that he gets it done is very impressive. So I would say shout out to Mike Cox of makeorbreakapparel.com.
Whoa, hold up. His name is Mike Cox.
His name is Michael Anthony Cox. Mike Cox. Get off my Cox.
I think I might have said this on the podcast, but this is a true story. I went to school with two kids named Lucas Hunt and Michael Hunt.
Yes. So
Mike Hunt missed school a lot. And over the intercom, they'd go, we need these people to come to the office first thing in the morning. And be like, so-and-so, Mike Hunt. And I'm like, every day, and the whole class would just roar with laughter, dude. Yeah. Like, did your parents not think through that at all? They didn't. Yeah. Dude, when I had my kids' names, we wrote them down. We set them over and over in our head. Tried to make sure that it wasn't something you could make fun of.
Well, Michael is an old school name. His father's name is Michael too, and that's another reason you get your ass kicked. I'm just kidding. But no, I would say that it was funny. Yeah, when we first Mike Ox. Like, well, and he's that kind of attitude anyways. If people tried to make fun, he'd boy named Sue it and turn it into a joke.
Yeah.
And that's
all you can do. If I had
the, I would say it's my name. I can't do anything about it. I might as well get funny with it.
you could change it, but I wouldn't. Like, if I had that name, I'd make it funny all the time. I'd have the coolest fucking branding of all times, dude.
Plus, again, he's yoked to bits. So, yeah. Like, if anyone wants to go make fun of him for his name in an earnest fashion, I'm sure he'll have some, you know, y'all could have a conversation about it.
Dude, we should have him on the pod at some point. That'd be pretty wild.
He'd be super down. And we could do kind of a father and stepfather and kind of deal.
Yeah, that'd be
co-parenting and how we do it.
For real,
people never understand that me, my ex-wife, and her new man are the best of friends.
Yeah, like, no, I'll be honest. When there was the videos that we talked about before, where you guys were going to the father-daughter dance or whatever,
yeah,
where that was one of the things that about you that most like propped you up in my eyes. I was just like, God damn, dude, Ty's a bad motherfucker, because a lot of men just simply could not handle it like that. And I think that'd be kind of cool to have that conversation with him.
For sure. Yeah, I would say, because again, me and Ash were just better off as friends. So he was a godsend, really, because they didn't have to watch their mother be all sad and lonely.
Right.
Like,
and
again, he treats my kids like he treats his kid. I have evidence now. They have a year and a half year old. Like, he loves them all equally. And that's awesome. That is something, because from a man who didn't want kids, like had no plans of ever having kids.
Sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, he got in a relationship with a woman who had two, and then and then they have one. And gosh, watching him become a father and like bask in it has been very awesome, actually.
Dude, sounds like if I ever have the dating show, I should have Ash on to talk about tell women how to fucking pick a good man.
Ooh, yeah, she is a taste in men expert. That woman is. If I do say so myself.
Right on. Well, we're getting up to 1 hour and 40. Dude, there's just no chance we're ever getting this under an hour.
I don't know, man. Whenever we at an hour feels like we just really got cooking. So like, we can aim for this an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Because this felt good. Nothing felt forced and nothing felt long and dragged out. So, I mean, I think we could aim for this. Okay, 2 hours is a little bananas.
Yeah, and it was odd because this I had planned on having a guest on, and I think periodically we'll just do these with just me and you, but, you know, because I don't want to just plug somebody in to have somebody here.
No.
So like, I'm fine with that, but it was funny because we had had we recorded those last two a month ago, or a month and a half ago, or however long.
It felt like we took a big break, but because we recorded those back to back.
Yeah, we did them in two different days, so it feels like we haven't done this in forever. So when I was getting ready to come on today, I'm like, man, I really have no idea what the fuck we're going to talk about. But it always just goes, dude.
We ended up, we handled it.
Yeah, there was some shit worth listening to on this episode, if you ask me. I agree.
And we hit a few notes that I didn't think we were going for anyways, but I hit a few where I was like, damn, I just made that up. Awesome.
I'm gonna go back and listen and learn from myself.
Yeah, one of the Ted Lasso situations. he says something to one of the guys and is like, you know, I just came up with that, but I feel really good about it. Which another one you need to watch. So that would be my homework besides finishing Avatar season one.
I finished it. I just need to.
No, I'm just saying getting to a point where you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I also would encourage you before we actually get into it to watch the first season of the cartoon.
Okay.
So that we can have a comparative conversation, because you have the unique perspective of not knowing what was going to happen at all, while I knew exactly what was going to happen and in what order it was supposed to happen.
Well, I feel like if I'm going to do that, I should watch the cartoon next, then go watch the live action a second time.
Yeah. And you'll see it through a different lens for sure. But and then you won't get any spoilers for seasons two or three of the live action, because they ended it where it ends.
Cool.
So yeah, it's solid. Yeah. But you get a lot more story, and some of the characters are very different.
Yeah.
If they got 16 episodes to a season for the live action, they could have told everything fucking flawlessly and added some shit. But anyways, we'll talk about that on
another time.
Another time and another place.
And once you've done your homework.
All right. Well, we'll put this out tomorrow. You were saying, though, Ted Lasso, I need to watch.
Dude, big time. Yeah. So
what,
good.
What channel?
It's on Apple Plus.
Apple Plus. I need to get that. I was trying to see if they had like a trial or something on there, because I've never used Apple Plus.
So I don't know if it was a Christmas thing specifically, but I got it in late November, early December. Yeah. And it was like a month. I didn't have to pay until January something.
Mm.
So I think they might do a month trial still. So check that out. But yeah, dude, and you can watch it in a month easy. But man, three seasons of just one of the best written shows ever.
I know. Like, yeah, I've heard about it, but I don't know a damn thing about it.
I didn't either. All I knew was it was feel good. And the main guy, according to the trailers and stuff, was like just blindingly positive. Mm. And in my head, I was like, I don't want to watch a Mr. Bean character who's just dumb positive, but he's not.
I like Mr. Bean.
But you know what I'm saying? I was for that. I didn't want it to be that kind of slapsticky where he's just, you know, airplane and, you know, winning, but being a doofus and not doing it on purpose. Like, I didn't want that. But it just so many very well-written three-dimensional characters, several amazing concepts that they handled so awesome. Like, some shows fumble it or shoehorn it in, and it was just so well. I can't say enough good things about Ted Lasso.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend anyone who's looking for something, and it's a feel-good fucking show.
Like, I might try to start that tonight.
Puts you in a good headspace, and I can text you my login shit. So.
W-do.
If there's not a trial.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. See how much maybe there's like a cheap introduct whatever, dude. I can't
speak. Yeah. All right. We're about to
anyway.
Go.
All right, dude. It was good talking to you. Good catching up.
Back at you, brother. I haven't
talked to you too much in the last little bit, but I guess. We'll hopefully have a guest next week, but I'm not exactly sure because I reached out to a few people. I reached out to the singer of one of my favorite UK bands because the guy, the lead singer, I'm Facebook friends with them. They've been on tour for a long time, so it might be part of the reason why. But I was like, he went on this big rant about how he's living with severe anxiety and still a singer in a band and nobody knows about it. And I'm like, dude, come on, talk about it. Let's go.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm a singer and have anxieties.
Yeah.
What a coinkadink.
Let's talk.
Let's chat about it.
Right. It'd be a fucking dream to talk to them. It's one of my favorite bands. They're not huge. They're not so big that I shouldn't be able to have a conversation with them, but you never know, man.
Hopefully. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Yeah, I'm shooting for some for bigger names, but who knows, man.
All right.
Anyway,
until next time,
Cash App Polk Podcast. If you want to donate to the show, and I don't know what else we got going on. Anything? Nothing else exciting?
No, we usually have our guest plug, but I did the plug. I wanted to make sure I did.
So that's right. You plugged your buddy. Your buddy's thing. What was that website again?
MakeOrBreakApparel.com.
And it's there we go.
My brother, husband, Mike.
Talk to him about getting him on, man.
Oh, hell yeah, I will. I bet. I guarantee you he'd love to do it.
That'd be badass.
We just would have to schedule it right. But yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, for those of you still listening, we're glad you're still fucking here.
Still fucking here.
See you guys next time.